Our reading today is taken from the book of Hebrews. Let us listen for the word of God. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, it is by faith that our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
I've gone to Fountain all my life, and in the beginning it was just a place that I went to on Sundays to mostly play with my friends. But now it's a place that I go to worship and to pray. To me, when I think of faith, I think of religion and its importance to me because it allows me to connect with God and with other people. It helps me decide what's right and what's wrong, and when I have a bad day, my faith helps me feel better. At home, my experience at Foundry and what I've learned there makes me take more advice from my parents, though my parents may disagree with that. I've learned to ask more questions and to ask for help. But sometimes it helps me have more patience for my little brother, but only sometimes. When it's come to my friends and my family's friends, Foundry has had a big impact because once a week for my entire life, I've been surrounded by all different types of people who make up our church. It has made me more welcoming to friends who may be more different than me, and also to people that I don't know. At school, my faith has given me a stronger mindset to learn, because Foundry has helped me become more confident. I go to a big public middle school in D.C. that has all kinds of different students at Foundry that has helped me learn how to fit in. Foundry also played a really big role in one of the coolest things I've done in school. I was part of an essay contest in which we were asked to write a persuasive essay about anything we wanted. I chose gay marriage mostly because it always has been something that this church cared a lot about. In the essay, I argued that gay marriage should be legal everywhere and that anyone who wants to get married should be able to. And my essay won the award. Foundry has influenced my musical ears. I listen to all different types of music, though I mostly like rock and pop. Pop and rap. And that's probably because all of the different kinds of music I've heard during worship at Foundry. I've even come to kind of understand my dad's music, but not really. One of the big parts of my life right now is baseball. Right now, I'm on two different teams, and on my good days, my faith and Foundry are with me on the baseball field. How? I can try to be a good teammate. I can try to win, but also treat the other team with respect. I can even try not to yell and complain when umpires make awful, horrible, just bad calls. That's because I've been taught at Foundry that you shouldn't question someone's opinion negatively. Foundry has helped me understand new ways to live my life. My family used to live just a few blocks from Foundry, but we moved to a different neighborhood when I was 5. But I'm so glad that we keep coming back to Foundry. Thank you.
In the reading this morning, we are reminded that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. To me, this means faith is faith. It is not tangible. Faith is when I trust in something that I cannot see or prove. Faith is a way of living. I like the verse, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen is made from things that are not visible." Faith is a warm, fuzzy feeling. It gives me a positive perspective. I always like the blessing that reminds me that I'm not alone, that God is beside me when I feel lonely. God is behind me to break my fall. God is beneath me to lift me up. God is in front of me to guide the way. God is above me to watch over me. And God is within me. I have faith that this belief is true. This reassures me, though I'm not always aware of God's presence. When I need him, I am. It's comforting to know that God is there. And though I don't always see how God works by sending other people to be in my life, I have faith and know that he is at work. Faith is trusting. Faith is vulnerable. Faith is knowing that God loves me unconditionally and loves me no matter what I do or what I think. Faith in God reminds me of the faith I had as a child. Faith in that my mom would always be there for me, meeting my every need and embracing me with her unconditional love. This faith in her was demonstrated every day. As a teenager, I'm finding my way in faith and discovering my relationship with God. It's not easy. In school, my classes require that I provide answers based on proof or reasoning, something I can see and explain and prove. But my faith is not like my schoolwork. I can't articulate or explain why I feel and believe in faith. I have the foundations of faith. I do believe in God. I do believe he works in this world. I do believe he is always present. I believe that through him, there are many people who do good things in this world. But no, I can't explain how faith works when a tragedy occurs. I just know that it does. That even in the darkest moments, even in tragedy, God is present. God is present in my life every day. For those of you who don't know, I moved to Bethesda in 2011. Before we moved, I lived for 11 years in Indianapolis, Indiana. I had friends, I attended St. Richard's, the same school since kindergarten. I went to the church I was baptized in. I didn't know any place different. Indianapolis was my world. One day, my mom told me she got a job offer in D.C. I was in the first half of sixth grade. I thought, all right, this will be interesting. Why not? I was up for an adventure. I was up for change. And I had faith that whatever happened, it was going to be all right. God would be looking over us. I didn't expect that it would be easy, leaving friends and making new ones. I didn't know if my classes would be harder. I didn't know if I would like my new church. Spoiler alert, I do. I didn't know how I would adjust, but I knew whatever it was, it would be all right because I had faith. I had faith that everything would work out and everything was exactly as it was supposed to be. I knew if I felt lonely or sad, God was there for me, always. Today, I'm starting a path of self-discovery about my adoption and my feelings about it. Just like moving from Indianapolis to D.C., I will need to have faith. I will need to embrace my feelings. Some exciting, some sad, some happy, some new. And with the love and support of my mom and other resources and the knowledge that God is walking with me, I have faith that I'll grow on this journey. Because God is beside me when I feel lonely. God is behind me to break my fall. God is beneath me to lift me up. God is in front of me to guide the way. God is above me to watch over me. And God is within me. And in this, I have faith. Thank you.
Like most teenagers, I dread when my parents start talking about what I did when I was little. Everything that they thought was cute or adorable is dreadfully embarrassing. And of course, those moments always come up when my girlfriend comes over for dinner or my best friend is just hanging out. Could someone please tell me why they think it is necessary to carry all those adorable memories around on their iPhone to flash at a moment's notice? Sometimes I wonder if I could break their password just to erase that picture of me hugging my stuffed purple Barney. And by the way, I've never been able to figure out why my dads think that picture is so cute. Ironically, pictures today are not just solid images. Instead, they are digital, which means they are just dots or pixels, varied in color and density that create a mosaic image. The life that I share with my family today is like that, a mosaic of events and memories that none of us could have planned or foreseen. And obviously, it was all part of God's plan for my mosaic. When I was not even 3 years old, two gay men who could not even get married set out against all odds to fulfill their dream of having a family. They took on the bureaucracy known as the state of California, think of the DC government on steroids, to create their family. 3 years earlier, a teenage girl had a baby. The baby was an event that she had not planned, and her parents would not help her because the baby was biracial. So she gave the baby to her birth father. What could possibly go wrong with that picture? The birth father, who probably was well-meaning, had never experienced a loving family, never finished high school, and could not even deal with his own demons of mental illness and drug addictions. Addictions that brought chaos to his life and now the life of his new baby. One night, passed out in a storm drain, the now 10-month-old baby asleep on top of him, the police were called and took the baby away. Enraged, aggravated by drugs, he attacked the police and went to jail. The baby could have been forgotten, but this baby was fortunate. The baby was placed with Ema, a loving, kind, simple Jewish lesbian foster mother. Ema, always dressed in jeans, had a large heart and three other foster kids, Timothy, David, and Danielle. She opened the doors to her West Hollywood bungalow a little wider to make room for the baby. Ema was loving but serious. She decided it was her mission to make sure that her little kids went to loving homes, and only if she approved. And for some reason, the social workers never challenged her. Ema decided that she loved the two gay men after meeting them in a park in West Hollywood. Ema, ever the clever one, hatched a plan with the social worker to transfer foster care to the baby to them so they could have the adoptive priority once the California bureaucracy caught up. The baby was me, and the two gay men are my dads. But that's only part of my mosaic. The first Sunday after moving to my new home, my dads took me to my first church home, MCC in West Hollywood. My dad, James, tells me that on that first Sunday, there was a lesbian who did not know my dad's, asked if I had ever lived with a lady named Ema. Turns out, a year earlier, she met a beautiful little boy with big blue eyes, just like mine, in the part of West Hollywood with Ema. She told my dad on that day she met that little boy, she felt a special tug in her heart to pray for his life, and that it would be happy and filled with love. I don't remember her name, but that is part of my mosaic. The church had no children. After all, it was a gay church. But everyone in that church, especially Miss Carol and Miss Bonnie, created a Sunday school for me and my brother and the other kids who soon followed. The church invested resources into the social and spiritual development of the youth now entrusted in their care. In 2004, when my family moved to Washington, I couldn't convince my dads that Alfred wanted to stay behind in California. So we had to look for a new church. But there were two white gay dads with biracial and African-American sons. At our first Sunday visiting Foundry, David Bissett invited my dads to come to the following Sunday to the annual GLBT holiday potluck. And please bring the kids. You are all welcome. Wow, I was 7 and my brother was 4. What were they getting themselves into? But at that potluck, our second Sunday, two holiday nutcrackers were waiting for Alfred and me. Foundry has become an important part of my mosaic. Miss Charlotte and her kids' choir, Miss Faye, Mr. Dan, and Miss Kay's Sunday school. And I looked forward to enjoying the benefits of Foundry's vibrant youth programs. The transition to middle school was not easy for me, but as I entered the junior high program, Mark Scholl was always there to listen and ensure that I was made part of the program. I benefited from the regular lock-ins, movies, and Sunday school. Who could say no to Mr. Bill and the Harvest of Hope? Who could walk by Miss Prince as she reminds, as only Miss Prince can remind, you will be at practice, won't you? Their support is now part of my mosaic. of a congregation leader supportive of the youth. But now the church leaders and board seem distracted by the allure of bigger issues. And I am confident that these issues are important, but are they as important as providing support and resources to the youth? But despite these challenges, the volunteers and my friends in the youth program continue to add memories to my mosaic. The conversations we have with Rachel and the camaraderie that I experience with the adult volunteers on the ASP project inspire me to be a better person. Those volunteers, Rachel, Bill, Clarice, Kleinies, John, and others, share part of their summer to join us on a long, hot trip. But who wouldn't call riding in a hot van full of teenagers for 8 hours of vacation? I only hope and pray that our church leaders will again provide the resources and support so that my brother and other children entering the youth program will be able to experience the same and similar memories.